Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went into the region of Judea, where he spent some time with them baptizing. John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was an abundance of water there, and people came to be baptized, for John had not yet been imprisoned. Now a dispute arose between the disciples of John and a Jew about ceremonial washings. So they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and everyone is coming to him." John answered and said, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said that I am not the Christ, but that I was sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The best man who stands and listens for him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made complete. He must increase, I must decrease." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a little bit of a surprising passage. It has some, at least, surprising contours, and for John's disciples, it certainly does. You know, his disciples thought that they would come to him, and of course, the one who's baptizing, the one who's growing in popularity, is Jesus. Just in case we need to make that explicit, and here John's disciples think. He's like outshining you. Do you know? He's outshining you. And his popularity is growing, and perhaps at the expense of your popularity. His movement is growing and gaining in number and power. And yours, I'm not sure anymore, right? And John, of course, we know this because we encountered John in each of the four Gospels. We know what his response is going to be, because he's the preparatory figure for Jesus. He's preparing the way, and he is then authentically happy to receive that. You know, it's not sometimes you grin and bear it, right? And we could see John like, "Oh yeah, it's great," you know, and inside he's torn up because, you know, his movement is coming to an end. But that's not it. That's not the way it works for John. This authentic response, I understand the role that I had to play in the whole thing, and this line at the end is beautiful, right? It's a great motto. He must increase, I must decrease. Okay, and that's where we want to be as well. So I've been harping on one of the ways that I think we can understand our mission in the world, and the mission that we pick up in Christ, that he has us share in, and that is to be the light to the nations. Yeah, but I can sum it up by saying God wants to love the world through you. And then we have to grapple with even the meaning of that little phrase, God wants to love the world through you, because he does want you to be fully who you're made to be. So how do we see that and hold that against he must increase, I must decrease? How do we hold that all together? And I think the only way to make sense of it, because both are true, is to say that when I am most fully myself when I am giving myself away. And I am most fully myself when in me Christ increases. Now that's my true self there is, say, increasing. I'm sharing more fully in what Jesus wants to do. I'm sharing more fully in Jesus' life, in the love of God, and making the love of God flesh. But the source of that is not me. Yeah, so that perhaps the decrease is there. It's not by my own strength that I'm enacting the great plan of God, but it's by allowing the strength of Christ to work in me and through me that I'm enacting the great plan of God. So this is the he must increase, I must decrease. But my friends, look, in your prayer, be honest. At least, you know, like if you're not going to be honest anywhere else, you know, we're a bunch of brigands, right? So we're not going to be honest anywhere. No, look, if you're not going to be honest anywhere else, at least be honest in prayer, because you can't fool God, right? It doesn't make any sense. And so we have to get rid of this kind of grin and facade attitude, like, yeah, we're good, you know, God, I'm good, kind of thing. No, like, God, these are at least what I perceive to be my needs. This is my weakness. This is who I am. This is what I'm bringing before you. What you've given me, I'm bringing before you. And perhaps I don't like the role that God wants me to play in the world. Perhaps I don't like where he's called me to serve and bring his love to life. Okay, then tell him. He's a big boy, right? He can handle it. Tell him. And that's where we'll start to see him effect a renewal in us. He'll love us precisely at that place where we struggle to accept and embrace his plan, where it seems that, I would rather grow in stature before others, and you would have me shrink in some ways so as to bring your love to life. Who knows, right? Look, this is very, we're talking about our lives here, but we live our lives as a sacrifice to God, and that's what John is giving us today. If we live totally for Christ, then we can rejoice full-heartedly at his plan come to fruition. If we don't live totally, full-heartedly for Christ, then there are points of tension in our lives. And we don't want those. We don't want those. It's not good for us. Not good for God and his plan. So we offer ourselves again to God through and with and in his Son, entrusting ourselves to him, entrusting our needs, entrusting our hearts, our desires to him, and having him figure it out, and pledging to follow him wherever he leads. That's how we'll be a light to the nations. That's how we will decrease and have him increase in and through us. That's how God will love the world through us.